Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
1 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Derek in Nashville, Willie in Seattle, as the Predators will take on the Kraken tomorrow night on these airwaves. We'll get into the Preds weekend here in just a few minutes, but as we do every Monday at 1 o'clock, and I'm excited. I get to kind of take the reins on this today. The NFL Zingers, usually Nick handles that, but he is on vacation this week, so I decided I'd come up with some zingers of my own and hit you guys with them. So without further ado, let's get to our NFL zingers here on a Monday. Want to start with the Miami Dolphins, 6-3, as they defeat the Bears yesterday, 35-32. Now, this game turned out to be close. The Bears started to come back, but Tua time gets it done. Do you guys view the Dolphins as a legitimate contender in the AFC with everything being so jumbled?
Why not? They're doing just as good a job as anyone else in the AFC right now. Obviously, I think their record would have been, you know, maybe 7-2 had not Tua had not gotten hurt. You know, so I think they have a lot of playmakers on offense. And they do a good job from a defensive standpoint. You know, this is a team that once they get on the roll, it's hard to stop them. Tua has been fabulous this season.
He was 21 of 30, 302, 3 touchdowns yesterday.
He's accurate. He's an accurate passer. And hopefully he's sort of dismissed all of the noise that was surrounding him during the offseason.
Tyreek's
on another
level.
He's
different, man.
He's a different dude. I haven't seen nobody like him in a very, very well, I've never seen anybody like him.
Cheetah.
The guy's good.
Willie?
The other thing they've done is they have slowly, quietly pieced together a running game that can keep you honest. Because they've if you notice, Mike McDaniel has brought in the two running backs that he had when he was at San Francisco. He's got Raheem Mostert. And now he's got Jeff Wilson. So they've done a really nice job with those two guys with the attack. And so they can run the ball pretty well to balance out the threats of Waddle and Tyreek Hill. So it's a legit offense as long as they can keep Tua doing what he does. You know, that's the thing. It's interesting, though. You know, when you haven't won, you still got a half a season to go. You never know, and it's a very balanced division that they're playing in, right? Who's the worst team in the AFC East? New England? They're not that bad, right?
No, you're right.
You got a four team race. How about I'm sure you may have one about the Jets, I'll say that, but Miami's in a pretty tight race just to make the playoffs. So contender for the playoffs, for sure. To win the whole thing, there's a lot that has to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. We will get to the Jets in just a second, but first, I must start in Derek's hometown of Detroit Rock City, Dan Campbell.
Oh.
The Detroit Lions beat the Packers 15-9 yesterday to improve to 2-6. Packers fall to 3-6 in a terrible division outside of the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota running away with that. But the Pack continue to struggle. Are we seeing the end, potentially?
Of Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's got nothing. And they're all hurt. Like he's got. You know, you're talking about the Titans not having weapons. Like he's got nothing to work with.
If I am Green Bay fans, I really, 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 I mean, really dislike Aaron Rodgers right now. I don't hate him, but I just like really dislike him, and I can love him from a distance if I'm a Green Bay fan.
From a distance.
Because of this, you kept that organization handcuffed. For all that time, and you wanted your money. It was, I don't know if I'm retiring. I don't know if I'm not. And then you wanted $50 million per year. You got it. You got everything you wanted. And Green Bay fans got nothing they wanted. Davante Adams is gone, their best receiver. I mean, the offense is inept. The defense isn't good. So I don't feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers. I don't. I really don't. Because I almost believe that he doesn't care at this point.
Yeah,
I don't want to believe it, but I'm starting to. Like, he just doesn't care. He wanted his money. He was probably mad at that organization anyway. And he handcuffed him. And they paid him his money, and he was like, all right, cool. I'm fine now. But the team's not.
No. Willie?
I really hope that they keep struggling because they've got the Titans on that Thursday night. It's going to be a tough turnaround with the Titans as banged up as they are. They've got a physical game coming up against Denver, and then they've got to go to Lambeau on that Thursday night. So I hope that the struggle bus continues for Green Bay. But here's the thing to keep in mind. If they can get going, and I do wonder about all the things you're saying chemistry-wise, just the culture in there right now. It looks pretty toxic. But the Vikings are going to come back to earth a little bit here, I think. They've got some very tough games coming up in the next month. I don't think they're going to totally run away.
But I'd agree with that.
That has got to be coupled with Green Bay starting to win some football games. And I don't know. We'll see if they can do it. Who's Green Bay have this Sunday?
Let's see. The Green Bay Packers have Cowboys.
How about those Cowboys?
I should know that.
So let's hope if the Cowboys could pin another loss on them,
I think that bodes well.
Green Bay's next three games: Cowboys, Titans, Eagles.
Loss, loss, loss.
I just hope it keeps snowballing because that's just only good for the Titans.
Yeah, because
I really didn't like their chances at winning Lambeau in training camp. I like them a lot. They got more of a realistic shot now.
Like, here's the difference between Rodgers and Brady. I never see a point where Brady's going to quit, and they won yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and he was fired up. But I never felt like there was going to be a point where he would just give up. I feel Rodgers is almost to the point where he's going to give up.
You know the other difference? Tom Brady would have said, hey, what do I need to do to make sure the team stays together so I can win championships?
Yep.
Because the more championships I win, the more money I'm going to get anyway. So what do I need to do?
And how many championships does Brady have? Seven?
Like 10 of them? I don't know. Seven? Yeah.
How many does Rodgers have?
Just that lonely one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Exactly.
Let's see. The New York Football Jets. I know they're not really called that. They defeat the Bills 20-17 yesterday. And it was a good game. Mm-hmm. I actually watched some of this. Pretty good game. Are we bought in now to the JETS Jets at 6-3?
I was bought into that defense.
6-3, and if they had not completely bungled the game against the Patriots from a couple different angles, they easily could have won that game.
I agree.
So they've overcome the loss of Breece Hall. They've got a reasonable tandem now with James Robinson. You know, they made a bold move. They went and made a trade to replace a position of need. And so I like the Carter combination with Robinson. I think they got a reasonable attack there. It's all going to come down to whether Bryce Wilson can keep it together. And, you know, he is still
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, I'm sorry.
You sound like
Zach, me. Very erratic still. But, man, you're right, Derek. They can play defense. And I don't know what's going on with Josh Allen right now. He's going through a bit of a slump. I think he'll, when he comes out of it, it's going to be pretty scary for the rest of the league, and that certainly helped. I watched some of that, too. He made a couple of interceptions where you're scratching your head going, is that Josh Allen I just saw do that?
Here's his stat line, and this is why.
And he was quoted in saying he played like bleep yesterday.
Yeah, because he did. Here's his stat line. 18 for 34, 205 yards, two interceptions. Not two touchdowns, but two interceptions. That Jet defense, man, they play.
Sauce Gardner is legit.
They play as a unit, and they tackle, and they're physical. They're sort of like the Titans defense, man. They are in your face all the time. And I don't know. Just like styles make fights it's just Kansas City and the Titans, no matter where Kansas City offense is on you know, if they're number one, number two, number three, it doesn't matter. When they play the Titans, it's a total different story.
Right.
Because the Titans, for some reason, has their number. I think because of the way the Jets play defense and their aggressiveness, I'm not saying that they will beat the Bills, but I think they will have their number in regards to how tough the game is for them. And it's a divisional game, so it's always going to be tough.
No doubt about it. In fact, if I'm looking at this right, I think that no, Titans would get Baltimore in the first round, but the Jets right in the mix for sure. All right, that is NFL Zingers today. I was going to squeeze this in, but don't sleep on Seattle. I think we were all wrong to sleep on Seattle.
I watched them. I was here in the city, so I got to see that one from start to finish. Yeah. They're tough.
They are.
Geno Smith, he is tough.
Geno, gotta love it for sure.
He wrote me off. I ain't right back.
I love that line.
He did a local interview on the affiliate after the game, a real long one-on-one. I love his makeup, man. He is so mature
he's
now.
Legit.
He is behind the scenes. He's grown up. He's learned a ton. He is really, really doing well. I did not think he would sustain like this, but man, he is looking good. I'm not sure he's going to drop off. The way they're running the ball, the way he's got the receivers going, that is a good team.
Yep, no doubt. Mike McCarthy was asked about his return to Green Bay today. Said, trust me, I'm the last person who ever wants to create a distraction or questions for somebody else. I'm very grateful for my time there. That's what he said. Coming up next, we'll get into the Preds. They had an interesting weekend. We will discuss that next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game. But first, Superbook Sports, my official sports book. And when it comes to sports, it's all happening right now. Whether it's football, basketball, hockey, and soon enough the World Cup, there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, place a deposit, and wager all in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. It's that simple. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money with my friends at Superbook Sports. You could do it tonight. New Orleans getting a point and a half at home at the Dome against Baltimore. I would look at that potentially because they've been a team that's kind of hung around there. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Make them your official sports book just like me. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Stillman and Company coming up in about 40 minutes as they'll continue the reaction to the Titans falling to the Chiefs last night. Colts have fired Frank Reich and hired Jeff Saturday. Okay. That's all I got to say about that. Like Jeff Saturday, he's been on the show many times. Good guy. Not sure being a high school coach qualifies you for the NFL, but we'll see. We'll see what Jim Irsay has up his sleeve there. But, Willie, you're in Seattle now. You were in Vancouver Saturday night. A wild one for the Predators. Go down 3-0 in the first period. Not looking good. They all criticized their start, had a bad start. And here's the great thing about this sport and sports in general. You know, you have UC Saros that lets that first goal in. He probably wants that one back. It was not a good one. Jordan Gross, he messes up, lets a goal in, and then he becomes the hero later on, as does Saros, because Saros was standing on his head. Gross scores his first two NHL goals in his career. The Nino Niederreiter ties it up. Predators end up winning it in a shootout thanks to Matt Duchene. Just a wild roller coaster ride on a late Saturday night in Vancouver.
It was. They needed a game like that. A win like that, I should say. You know, you want to play better. I thought it was just really disappointing that they had played so sharp on Thursday, and they all said the right things going into the game on Saturday. Hey, let's put together back to back strong efforts. We got to find that consistency. And then they laid a big egg in the first period. It might have been their worst period of the season, all things considered. And you're sitting there going, how does that happen? How could that possibly happen? But they didn't give up. I thought, number one, UC Saros flipped the switch. If you didn't see the game, I thought his second period through the end of the shootout, he was Vezina leveled, and that was a great sign. If he can start stringing those kind of games together, and we've said it before, he can be a slow starter. And so if he can go on a run, that's going to mean some really good teams. That's a big if, but he's capable. We know that. how did they get back in it? I saw what I saw a lot last year. You get in trouble, you change the tone of the game with physical play. Tanner Janot gets into two big fights. He takes on everybody, but he does it in a smart way. He agitated the other team. He put him on the power play a couple of times. They cashed one of them in. Jordan Gross made a play. And I agree with you, Jace. Jordan Gross in there because of offense. He was shaky defensively big time in the first period, as was everybody on the team. But he made a couple plays, including a power play goal. And what has this team been lacking so far in the first 10 games? Making plays. So big time. And then Nino Niederreiter makes a big play to tie it up. They still need to get the first line wasn't a force. I didn't see a whole lot from Duchesne Forsberg. I didn't see a ton from Yossi. So that's a head scratcher a little bit. Let's get those guys going a little bit. They've been on and off some, but they found a way to get it done. And that was a really good thing. Now the confidence grows a little bit more. Now you play a Seattle team that's coming off maybe their best road trip as a franchise in their young time. They've won four in a row. They're playing great. So that's going to be a big challenge tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was about to say, Seattle has not played like a second-year team at all. Now, they could come down to earth at some point, but at 7-4-2, you got to like the way that they're playing as they're building. They're trying to figure out what their identity is as they move forward as a franchise. But I agree. But I think this is a huge game because we'll see what happens Thursday. Colorado hasn't been the buzzsaw that we've seen, last year yet. But that's a tough place to play Thursday night. If the Predators, can win three in a row for the first time this season and be guaranteed three of the five on this road trip with a win over Seattle, I think you'd feel really good about that.
Yes, I think tomorrow is a big swing game in the road trip because, like you said, Seattle's going to come in with a ton of confidence. They've been scoring a ton of goals. And so I think they're building a little bit of an identity now. So that's going to be a great matchup. The thing to remember, too, about Thursday is, number one, it's the Avalanche. So you're right. I mean, it's the Avalanche. It's going to be tough. But the Avalanche are facing the challenge of coming back from Finland. They won the two games over the weekend in Finland against Columbus. Now they're going through the whole process of the flights and the time change and the jet lag. So we'll test the theory. can they be sharp in their first game home from the trip? We know the Predators looked anything but that when they came home from Prague. But cross that bridge on Thursday. First things first, let's see how the Predators play against Seattle tomorrow night, because that's a big one. You win that game, then you're guaranteed a winning record on the road trip no matter what.
And you feel good. You feel better. You have more of your confidence back. I mean, but what does it say, Derek, about a team that can battle back like they did, being down three goals? That's kind of the equivalent of if you're down three touchdowns and you fight, scratch and claw, and you end up winning the game. That, to me, that will send a team into a different atmosphere.
Yeah, it will. Because if you look at, they come out and they score two goals in the first period, I believe. And now you're already down 2-0. And you can always fall into the mode of, here we go again. But they didn't. And you like the way the team fights back, the character of the team, the resolve of the team. I don't think we ever question whether, the Predators, whether they were not giving it their all or, whatnot. I don't think we ever questioned that. But I think, looking at this game, when you're down early, quickly, for a team to still have that resolve and to still know that, hey, listen, we got two periods left to get the goals that we need to either tie the game up or win. We don't have to get them all back in the first period. We don't have to get them all back in the second period. But before the game over, we need to make sure in regulation, we need to make sure it's tied or either we're winning. And they stuck with the game plan. They didn't press it. Like Willie said, they became the team that we thought they were or still are. It still is that physical team, and they didn't get away from that. So they stayed within their framework of how they like to play, in what they like to do. And, you know, you can do that when you're down early. When you're down late, sometimes you probably have to switch what you want to do. But when you know you got basically almost three periods to get your points back to tie the game or either win, then you play with a different mindset. You play by each. It's almost like the play-by-play thing, like we're going to play one play at a time. Well, it's one period at a time. You know, we need to do the things that we have to do to make sure by the end of the third period, either the game's tied or we're winning.
Yeah, I thought it was too. It was interesting. The second period, let's say, it was not pretty, but it was smash mouth. It was like, doggone it, we're going to get back in this game somehow. We're going to change the tone. We're going to hit everything that moves. They still weren't connected offensively. And UC Soros had one power play where Vancouver, who's got a great power play, they had six shots. He was incredible. Keep it 3-1 was big. And then finally, in the third period, they got their game together. They were taking the game to the Canucks, and they were able to get those two goals to get it tied. It was a very entertaining game. And I think, to a man, they all said, you know what? All the counts is we got the win. That showed a lot of character, but we know we can play better. Let's get back to playing the way we did against Calgary. That's more the kind of game that they're looking for, and they probably know that that's what it's going to take to beat a team that's playing really well, like Seattle tomorrow.
Real quick, we'll get back into the Titans coming up next, but I did want to mention this. Joey Logano won the NASCAR Cup Series Championship yesterday, but heart-wrenching news that came out before the race in Phoenix. Coy Gibbs, who is the son of Joe Gibbs, Hall of Fame NFL coach and race car owner and father of Ty Gibbs, who actually won the Xfinity Championship on Saturday, died in his sleep. After celebrating his son's first championship, they haven't said exactly what happened, but it was announced that he had passed away in his sleep. And Joe's already lost one son in JD and now losing his other in Coy. Just awful, awful news. Coy Gibbs was a race car driver, executive with JGR, coached as with the Redskins, with his dad as well. So just awful news. Thoughts and prayers with Ty, who's only 20 years old, and the Gibbs family. So that was definitely a tough one yesterday to watch and to hear about before the race. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. But first, D-Mace, tell us about Cool Springs MD.
Absolutely. That I will. To all the men listeners, I know you're out there and you're listening to this show because you called in today, so I know you're out there. And it's no slight to the women, but I'm talking to the men right now because I need them to listen, because I'm going to tell them about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee, that's including me, with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. So listen, there's no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle, man. So what are you waiting on? I know you hear my voice. So what are you waiting on? Because I'm about to give you this number. The number you can call to make your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey Lodge at Cool Springs MD. Here's the number to make that appointment. 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit their website at coolspringsmd.com.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Derek in Nashville. Willie is in Seattle. Get back into the Titans, but I did want to bring this up because Rick sent me this, uh-huh. And I checked it during the break. I sent it to you guys. So as Willie was talking about, Bo Horvat had the shot to tie it up in the shootout for the Canucks, completely missed the puck. So this guy tweets at him and basically said, dude, what are you doing? You cost me $91 or something like that, because I got a bet on it. Like, you owe me one. And Bo Horvat responded and said, send me your info. I got you. That's fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
What a real one, wow. That Bo Horvat. Back into the Titans, as we've been taking your reaction all show long. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on our phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, the Titans fall in overtime 2017 in Kansas City. They led a good chunk of the game. Kansas City able to come back on a drive to tie it up, and ultimately we get the field goal in OT to win it. The offense was pretty inept in the second half for the Titans. The defense kept them in this game. And I'm going to say this. I texted you guys this. You can call me crazy. I think Shane Bowen's going to be a head coach. I think he's doing enough to become a head coach in the National Football League. Took Arthur Smith 2 years as offensive coordinator of this team. You see it happen all the time where teams are hiring these head coaches that have been the coordinator for maybe a couple of years, and then they get a shot. And then there's some guys like Eric Bieniemy that I feel like they got to be an OC for 18 years before they finally get a shot. But, you know, I think Shane Bowen's going to get a look for sure.
I'm not saying he's not. It just depends on what team you're, you know, that is. I mean, you look at the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, they're going to be looking for a new head coach. If they deem Wilkes is not the guy moving forward.
I hope he gets that job. I like Steve Wilkes.
I do too. Then you're looking at Indianapolis. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they might just keep Jeff Saturday.
Peyton must have told him no.
Yeah, I don't know. So you got that team. And there may be two, three other teams that may have a head coaching position open. I'm sure he will be on that list of guys that will be interviewed. To me, I think it depends on what team it is. Because you know how they covet offensive coordinators. They covet them more than they do defensive coordinators to be head coaches because of the way the league is going. So, but he's, from what he's doing over the last 2 years or close to 2 years with this team, you know, he's opened a lot of eyes, I'm sure, around the league, and he's going to get his shot at being a head coach. If it's not this off season, it may be the off season after that. But if his defense continues to play the way they have been playing while he's defensive coordinator, he's definitely going to get at least an interview, and someone's going to take him seriously enough that he's going to be down to the last one or two candidates.
I think the mistake sometimes teams make when they hire coaches is they just take a hot coordinator who's done it for 1 or 2 years and they say, hey, bring that over here. But the league evolves, right? If you take a look, the Titans have just done a really good job of putting together a defense that plays the way a lot of the good defenses do right now with, you know, their stout front. I mean, they got the star player, Jeffrey Simmons, who is incredible, makes everybody around him better. So they stopped the run, and then they're now each week able to perfect the style of make you work the field. I mean, one of the reasons they give up 99 plays is because they didn't give up a whole lot of big plays. Of course, their offense couldn't stay on the field, but there was a valiant effort. But I think what I would like to see if I'm looking for head coaches, I'd like to see the guys who evolve. And when the trends change, you can kind of go with the flow and adapt and evolve. Like, offenses are going to figure something out, Mace, on how to attack these defenses that are playing back like this. I mean, it's frustrating a lot of offenses right now. You look at that Tampa Bay Rams game, my goodness, looked like nobody could ever score a touchdown in that. And barely they did. Scoring is down, but the offenses will figure something out.
Yeah,
and that's where you're going to really separate the coaches.
Sure.
I think. Mm-hmm. So I want to see what Shane Bowen is on a great path. Mm-hmm. I think he's a brilliant mind. He really is good. He stays with it, but he's young. You know, I think it's maybe too ambitious to think he's ready for that yet, but I think someday there's a really good chance it'll happen.
Hey, when you can hire Jeff Saturday from the ESPN desk, then everybody has. I mean,
why not Derek?
Exactly. I mean, hey, listen, everybody is fair game after that.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Hey, Derek, you want to go run the offense?
We would pass every play. No. Nah, I wouldn't pass.
All these receivers would be trash talking. Like, I'm always open. Give me the ball. What are you doing?
I'll make sure y'all get the ball. If you drop it, that's it.
You done.
Nah, you done. You drop it, that's it. I'm going to give y'all an opportunity to catch the football. If you don't make do.
Yeah, you look at Malik Willis last night after he throws a freaking dime twice and the dude's dropping and go, you should have thrown that better. I was open.
Hey, man, it's, you know, the way this league is going, and you're right when it comes to Shane Bowen. I mean, maybe he needs to do it another year or two, but what he's doing right now, you know, speaks volumes of who he is as a X's and O's guy, at least from a defensive standpoint, because he's done a really good job with this defense, who was poor, and I mean poor, 2 years ago. And he slowly made this defense one of the top defenses in the National Football League. And it doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't hurt when you have Jeffrey Simmons. I mean,
no.
Come on now.
Jeffrey Simmons last night even said, like, you know, it's football, but I got to get healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a man right there. Like, because you know he's hurting.
Yeah, it's luckily they have him on their team.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I watched, there were several plays where Mahomes would break to the outside. Mm-hmm. And get out of trouble, and you just see Big 98 just giving everything he's got going after him. And you know that
it's like you're not going to catch him, no matter what.
Right, but it had to feel like somebody took a knife and just shoved it right into his ankle.
I'm sure.
Yeah, because he wasn't moving. He wasn't moving the way he does when he's really feeling good, because he's a guy that it's awesome how he comes back. Like, he'll rush the passer. The play will go in behind him, and he'll turn and sprint up the field like Javon Kearse. Remember, Javon Kearse would outrun everybody and chase people down. Simmons is surprisingly good at that. Like, he's not as fast as Javon Kearse, but he still pursues the play and often gets there from behind, which is unbelievable for a guy his size. But I still worry about him. He's battling. He's going to keep battling. He's great, even less than 100%. But you got that Sunday, Thursday coming up. I just hope if he can get over the hump there, maybe he's got a little extra time to rest after that Thursday game. But, boy, I hope that ankle gets better because he's so good.
Coming up next, Malik Willis was definitely limited last night. How can the Titans help that if he is to continue being the starter? We'll do that coming up next here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But I've been telling you about Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars when we have our Jonathan Hutton segments. I love this place. Been in there a couple times now. My buddy Jeremy, he and his crew, they're awesome there. They're voted the best old-fashioned in Nashville over 14 other bars and restaurants in Nashville, and I love a good old-fashioned, and they truly do have the best one in town. They're also, they have an exclusive relationship with Davidoff Cigars, the best cigars in the world. This allows access to some rare cigars that only Blend can carry. Here's the best part. They're located right in downtown Nashville, 508 Church Street, not far from the arena, just a few blocks from Bridgestone Arena. So you can pop in there before a Preds game, after a Preds game, whatever you want to do, and just relax. Have a good time. The atmosphere is so chill, and I absolutely enjoy going in there. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars has the best ventilation system in the industry that allows for enjoyment of cigar smokers and non-cigar smokers alike. If you want to just go in there and enjoy a beverage, you can do that as well. They'll also offer private and VIP events. Just contact Jeremy for your next VIP event or party. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, a trendy upscale full-service bar and cigar lounge in the heart of downtown Nashville. It's just two blocks from Bridgestone Arena, the Ryman, and across the bridge from Nissan Stadium. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here on a Monday. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Stillman and Company, their reaction to the Titans' loss last night. This should be good. Ian, I know you're just chomping at the bit.
Cannot wait. Cannot wait.
But you can weigh in to their reaction as well. Malik Willis, you know, I don't put everything on him. I mean, is he limited? Yes. Is he a rookie? Absolutely. Does he need to get rid of the ball sooner? Absolutely. But there were two throws that weren't his fault. Two throws that should have been potentially six game-changing throws, and the receiver has to make the catch. So I definitely saw a big improvement from game one to game two. But you're just not going to go far with him, and that's the big concern. You know, now can he eventually be a starter in this league? Time will tell. But the concern is, how long is Ryan Tannehill going to be out? And when he does get back in there, you know, how effective is he going to be? How long does it take? I think we've pretty much you know, Willie, you've been saying this, but I think all indications are it's a high ankle, and that's not something that you just snap out of. And so I kind of feel like he probably won't be back this week. It'll be Malik Willis again. When he does come back, how effective will he be? So what can they do with the game plan to try and continue to simplify things for Malik Willis but also have an effective offense?
Well, I think, number one, it's important to listen to what Mike Vrabel said about Ryan Tannehill and the ankle. And I think when you really look at what he tried to do before the game, Teron was watching very closely. When they said game time decision, I think it was really just a decoy that I think they knew all week that he couldn't play. You know, he didn't try to do any running or cutting or anything that you would have to do, drop backs, you know, changing direction, avoiding, you know, simulating, avoiding a rush. He didn't do any of that in the warm-up on Sunday, which tells you he was nowhere close to being ready. And I think if you listen closely to Mike Vrabel today, he really was talking about Malik Willis, what he hopes he'll continue to improve on. You know, from game one to game two, he talked about that, but he also was talking about going forward, which led me to believe that they really do believe that Malik Willis will have to play again. And remember, you got Sunday and Thursday, so that's less recovery time for Ryan Tannehill the next two games. And he said three things, you know, because Ryan Tannehill is tough, okay? He would play through this if there was any way to do it. But what were the three things that Mike Vrabel said that he evaluates when a guy is going to try to play or not play? One, can he do the job? Two, can he protect himself? Three, can you make it worse? The answers to two and three are the issue. I think you can't protect yourself when you can't move. When you have a high ankle sprain, you cannot move. You can't avoid contact. And three, like Derek has been saying, Derek, you've been emphasizing this a lot, you can make it worse. If you can't protect yourself, it could absolutely get worse, and then you're screwed for the rest of the season. So it was not a question of toughness or playing through pain or anything like that for Ryan Tannehill. He wants to get back as quick as he can. But this specific injury is tough to overcome. We've been saying it. We've used tons of examples in different sports of how a high ankle sprain is different and it takes longer to recover from.
Well, if you can't, in Coach Vrabel's mind, if putting you out on the field does two things, if it can't help the team, but it hurts you, he's not going to put you out there. And I think Tannehill's at a point where even if he wanted to play, like last night, and I said this, even if he wanted to play, even if Vrabel would have said, okay, you go ahead. I've given in. You go play. He wouldn't have been able to move, which meant he would have probably got hurt even worse than what he's hurt now. Or the Titans probably wouldn't have even had an opportunity to throw the ball down the field. Why? Because your quarterback isn't mobile enough and your offensive line isn't that good to block for a statue. So until, this is what I believe, until he's at a point where he can move around, he doesn't have to be able to run, you know, and get away from, you know, run down the field and make a play like Patrick Mahomes did yesterday. But unless he's able to move around in a pocket well enough to help them, they're not going to put him back in the game. Because Vrabel understands how bad this offensive line is at pass blocking. They've gotten a lot better at run blocking. They have. But at pass blocking, they haven't gotten there yet. And he's not going to put his quarterback out there again for short-term gain and lose him for the whole season. So if he can't play this week, I can't see him then again playing on Thursday unless he just has, you know, in from today until next Thursday, he just recovers, you know, miraculously, yeah, and we can go out there and play.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, here's the thing that I took note of when he was talking. Terry McCormick asked Mike Vrabel about the RPOs and should they run more of them. And you know what? Mike Vrabel actually answered it in great detail, right? He did not shy away from it at all. And he kind of did. He was kind of envisioning that that's how they're going to have to do it with Malik Willis, the RPOs. And he was saying, we've got to get him to the next level of those. You know, he's talking about the future, right? And he's like, hey, you know, maybe there's more that we can do in the passing game out of the RPOs. But I do think that's how they're going to have to roll a little bit. And hopefully there's an improvement. There was improvement from week one to week two with Malik Willis. Now, if he's got to play again, there needs to be improvement from week two to week three. And that's going to go a long way to telling us whether someday Malik Willis can be an every week quarterback in the league, a starting quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to
just want to see improvement. Does he improve each time you put him out there?
And if I would does, say between game one and game two, he yeah. did. He did that.
And if he keeps going there, then I think there's hope that he could get there. But he's got a long way to go for sure. He's got a lot of major limitations. But I do think that's how you got to get it done right now. Can you do some more RPOs where he's a threat to run and he's able to find ways to complete more passes somehow, some way? Because he's so limited in the passing game right now. When it gets to be 3rd and 8 or 2nd and 15, the drive is dead.
So I got an email when we were talking from our buddy Jimmy Shapiro, betonline.ag. He has our good friend. He has updated odds to win the Super Bowl. Care to guess who the favorite is right now?
To win the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl. 13-4.
I guess an easy answer would be Philadelphia, but that's too easy.
You're correct.
Is it Philly?
There you go.
Oh, wow.
The easy answer is the right answer.
Okay. Yeah. go with the first
There you
instinct.
Go.
I mean, there ain't no. What else can you say?
Yeah.
By the way, I saw Jimmy's odds on the Broncos game. He's got the Titans as a 2-point favorite. And of course, we don't know. I don't know how much he knows about the injuries and stuff like that, but I thought that was interesting. Titans at 5-3 playing at home against a 3-5 Broncos team that can't score, and they're only favored by 2. It just shows you the margin for error is little. So where are the Bills and some of the other ones and the Chiefs after the Eagles?
Bills are 7-2, so they're second. He's got the Chiefs 23-4. Then the 49ers at 10-1, Cowboys 14-1, Vikings 16-1. You go all the way down. Titans are 60-1. To win the Super Bowl.
So what you're saying is they got a chance.
They do have a chance. College in college football, the Vols are at 16-1 to win the national championship behind Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. And Hendon Hooker has dropped a little bit as he's 13-4 to win the Heisman.
Well, that game Saturday didn't help him at all.
No.
In the Heisman voting. Matter of fact, it hurt him. Rather than helping.
Yep, it did not. Willie, have fun in Seattle. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, I'll be ready to go once again tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Seattle time.
Yes. Well, at least it's noon now. Go get some lunch.
Yes.
We'll do.
That's going to do it for us, Stillman and Company. That is coming up next. They'll have full reaction to the Titans and the Chiefs. That's all next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We out.